Greetings to you all this morning. I'm thankful for this opportunity and the blessings that we've already experienced. And just, I don't know, the richness of God's word being handled, being reviewed and taken into our hearts. So we're thankful for that, and we want to praise God for his love, his mercy, the grace which he so freely bestows upon us. I can say that it has been good. I appreciate the Sunday school period and all that was shared. So in preparing for a message this morning, my mind went, largely because of Thanksgiving, I believe, to the subject of gratefulness, and would like to share a little on that. We know that, or understand that, the Thanksgiving Day is seen as a day to express gratefulness, kind of the secular sentiment of Thanksgiving Day is seen as a day especially for expressing our gratefulness. But in the Christian life, every day is Thanksgiving Day, right? We desire, I think it is important that we seek to express our gratefulness on a daily basis. First to God for all that he does for us, but it needs to carry over into our social life as well. As we interact with each other, with those around us, the people we meet throughout life, expressing our gratefulness is important. And I guess I find in my life that seems like an overwhelming amount of situations, circumstances that make gratefulness difficult for me at this time. And I don't know, it's just not to take away from the importance of our need for gratefulness, but just to point out that it's not always easy. Personally, I'm facing a lawsuit. I've got a huge debt. There's tough business decisions to make, and the work we have right now, there's the jobs are rather unfavorable, hard to see them being profitable as we would appreciate. Just so many things that, what is there to be grateful for in that? But in reality, those are just a small part of life, and if we seek to, we can find or express gratefulness in spite of that, because there's many other things. But then those negatives kind of tend to make us complain. But expressing gratefulness in the time of wanting to complain, expressing gratefulness helps to counter the feelings of ungratefulness or the feelings of complaining. And we can always remind ourselves that God knows our struggles. He knows when we feel like complaining, when we feel that the odds are stacked up against us. He cares about us. He wants us to rise in victory over that. He's given us the victory. We have to receive it and act upon the victory that he's promised. So we're faced with situations that tend to bog us down. But as we commit that to him, trust him, as we praise him and express our gratefulness to him, our thoughts change. The circumstances that would take us down probably don't change. But we can rejoice in realizing that 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 his grace frees us from those bad feelings. The thing of being faced with difficulties and unfavorable situations, or however we want to express that, my mind went to Proverbs 3, and I'd like to read a portion of that. So, if you would, you might turn to chapter 3 of Proverbs, and I'll read the first 13 verses. You might stand for that if you would. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the firstfruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Okay, you may be seated. So there's just a lot in this passage of Scripture that reminds us, points out to us the need of letting loose of those things which would hinder us, discourage us, bring our spirits down. Trusting God with that, and receiving the victory which He has worked for us. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. You know, God's mercy is there, it's strong, it's powerful, it does deliver us. So let not mercy and truth forsake thee. So the truth that God gives us the victory, let that not forsake us. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Keep it close. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And then, of course, verse 5 and 6, trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. Thine own understanding would tend to make you believe that everything is against me, you know. Well, it may be, but God is for us, and if He is for us, who can be against us? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And then verse 12 is such a powerful, carries such a powerful message. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. You know, let's not forget that. When chastisement comes, God is with us, and His love is working in our being. So I guess I find that gratefulness is rather complex, I guess. Sometimes gratefulness feels natural. Circumstances just are such that gratefulness just wells up within us. Those times when all is well and we're comfortable in where we're going, and it's easy to be grateful in those times. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. We still need to rejoice and in those times and express that gratefulness. But then there's other times when we need to learn gratefulness. It needs to be learned or exercised. Times of disappointment and pain, then it's not so easy to express gratitude. Yet we do well to look for those those things that we can be grateful for. It's a tough call, but I guess I'm convinced that we need to learn to be grateful for the very things that disappoint us or cause us pain. And for those of us who struggle with discouragement at times, you know, gratefulness during those periods seems impossible. But then when we surrender to that and just give our all to God and accept the hard facts of life, then we find that gratitude is divinely provided. So I have those four conditions, maybe, or four attributes of gratitude. It can feel natural, it must be learned, feels impossible, and is divinely provided. And there may be more, and each one of these could possibly be broken down further. Those were my thoughts and my experiences, I guess. So I am grateful for the lessons that I've been dealt in being grateful. I know that shortly after Leonard's death, after the funeral, I don't know how long, not really long, it was soon after that time that we were gathered at Nathan Lehman's house for singing that evening, and during supper time, I was speaking with John Lehman. We shared some about that, and I forget exactly what the content of our conversation was, but we kind of shared experiences, I guess, his experience with with Javen's injuries and his healing, and I'm not quite sure what it was, but it left me just struggling within myself, I guess, just accepting it all, or I'm not quite sure what it was, but it was a severe struggle, and I finally just gave up and thanked God for that experience, and that brought an end to the struggle. That was probably my toughest struggle in expressing a gratefulness for Leonard's death, and that seems, in a way, it just seems wrong that that I could be thankful that Leonard, our son, was killed. And I'm not sure how that we need to think about that, really. I just know that giving thanks to God in that time of struggle brought great relief. It ended the struggle, and I was able to continue that evening. So just sharing that as a testimony that gratefulness, gratefulness must be learned, but at times also it is a divine gift, a gift given directly from God. Okay, if we take notice, gratefulness is a positive energy that counters the negative energy of melancholy or pessimism, which melancholy and pessimism both are a sense of my note says self-reflection, and that may not be the correct term, but it centers on thinking too much of just myself. And so if we can exercise gratitude, it takes our focus away from ourselves, and we are, again, putting out a positive energy instead of the negative. Gratitude is powerful in sharing a positive energy, one that helps those around us to also experience joy and gratefulness and praising God and so forth. Okay, the rest of this, I found an article on gratefulness and just kind of based the rest of the sermon on that article, just sharing what I found there. So if we think of Jesus' life here on earth and the way he dealt with situations, which, you know, we learned or were reminded, realized anew that in Sunday school, that it was definitely not all pleasant. There were many people that seemed to admire him and were very grateful. I'm sure there were many. But then there were also people that rejected him, as we just studied. But Jesus lived in thankfulness. Many times he expressed his thanks to his Father. John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42 is an example of him expressing his thanks publicly. And what he did there was done so that those with him can learn from his example. At Lazarus, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he was speaking to one of his sisters, to one of Lazarus' sisters. He said, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Now this was not, he did not say that they may believe that thou hast sent me. That was not said just because of his thanksgiving. But I think just the entire thing, the thing of having faith in God and acknowledging his power, but woven into that also was the thanksgiving. Just an example of publicly expressing gratitude. Okay, he also expressed appreciation for God's care of all creation when he said in Matthew 6, I think it starts in verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" So, there's no exact words of gratitude or thanksgiving in this passage, but just the comfort of knowing that God cares for the lilies of the field, he cares for the sparrows which we detest, He cares for them, provides for them. So if God is so gracious that he notices these little flowers and these little birds, which we know have no eternal destiny, if he cares for them, how much more does he care for us? And does that not well up in us a grateful spirit, which as we experience that, that gratefulness, it exudes an energy that tends to lift others up as well. Okay. Jesus, in his ministry, thanked God for providing food. Luke 24:30, "But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us." This was the two men that he walked with on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection. They said to one another, or they said to him, they constrained him and asked him, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? So just the example there, I guess, of thanking, blessing the food before we consume it. Jesus led by that example. And, you know, I guess I'm struck again. I eat food that I'm just barely thankful for. Like, I ate green beans while my children were growing up so that they would eat green beans. And I did not care for them at all. So was my thanking for that food hypocrisy? I don't know. We've become so accustomed to having whatever we choose that thankfulness for it almost seems optional, you know. So let's be grateful for all that we have and realize that all that we have is given us of God. Jesus thanked God for listening to him in John 11:41. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. This was part of a scripture I'd shared a little earlier. Just thank God for hearing him. He began and ended his prayers with thanks and praise. He even thanked God for the opportunity to sacrifice his life for the world. I could not have brought that up on my own. But in Matthew 26:26-27, we find that as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I had a little bit of a hard time connecting that to thanking God for the opportunity to sacrifice his life. But I think just the giving of thanks, and, you know, what is represented by this the bread of communion and the cup. It is fully, totally representing Christ's death, his broken body, the spilling of the blood that provided cleansing for the sinner. And he knew all that. He knew what was coming. He knew that he would suffer. And in the midst of that, he gave thanks for it. Okay, on the other hand, so we just reviewed things that that Jesus was thankful for, and you know, he lived in thankfulness. He expressed an appreciation for God's care of creation. He thanked him for food, for listening to him. His prayers included thanks and praise, and then was thankful for the opportunity to sacrifice his life for the world, those he loved, which includes all men. But on the other hand, throughout his ministry, Jesus himself was often not thanked. I'll just read what was in that article, I guess. Of the thousands of people Jesus ministered to, the Gospels record relatively few instances of people thanking him. The Samaritan leper was the only one of the 10 lepers who were healed to come back to thank him. The prostitute was the only one at Simon the Pharisee's party to show appreciation to Jesus for the forgiveness he offered to them all. That is in Luke 7, 36 to 50. I'll read a portion of that. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And then Jesus said to her, well, I don't have the number of the verse. It must be like, I don't know, 48 to 50, somewhere in there. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. So, the point that is made in this article is that this woman was the only one in that entire house full of people that thanked him. And you know, what a wondrous thing that he performed there and showed to those people, and yet there was only one that thanked him. Back to the article. Even Jesus' own disciples didn't seem to show gratitude to their master until after he rose from the dead. Indeed, most people who benefited from Jesus' wise teachings and wonderful miracles walked away without thanking him. Yes, they were amazed by Jesus, and maybe in their excitement they praised God or told other people about what Jesus did, but they didn't go to Jesus and thank him personally. Of the many thousands of people that Jesus preached the good news to and healed, it seems that only 120 became grateful, devoted disciples. That is taken from Acts 1:15. The account of ascension, or right after ascension, I guess. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. This was just prior to ordaining was it Matthias? Someone to take Judas' place, I believe. That's where they got this number of 120. You know, out of the thousands that he ministered to, only 120 became grateful, devoted disciples. And we know that out of those 120, the church grew quite mightily. But at that time, there were only like 120. The disciples did learn to express their gratitude as evidence in their writings, which overflow with gratitude to God. Their thankfulness to God spills out into their appreciation for one another and the people they ministered to. Okay, so thank you are two of the most important words we can say. Thanksgiving is foundational to a lifestyle of worship to God. In his Psalms, David brought thankfulness to the forefront of spiritual life. Thankfulness to God for his many blessings belongs in all of our prayers, in all of our praises, in all of our conversation, in all of our thoughts about others, and in all our life circumstances. That leaves a lot of room for us to grow in gratitude. Learning to be grateful to God in all things takes practice, same as exercising your mind does. Paul practiced and learned this positive mindset toward God, and it became so much a part of him that in his letter to the Philippians, we see his joyful gratitude exude from him even when he was imprisoned, persecuted for his faith, and chained to an ogre-like soldier. One great exercise is to count your blessings when you start your day. Make a gratitude list on paper or in your mind, then share it with someone. Gratefulness is infectious. I'm just reading it from the article, but I did like that, making the list a gratitude list. I know that I personally need to exercise myself more in gratefulness and just taking the time to put thought into making that list would be very helpful first of all, reminding me to be grateful, but taking my mind to positive things to dwell on, I guess. Be sure to include in your gratitude list not only God's tangible blessings, but also the less obvious things, like appreciating him for his character, things he's teaching you in your trials, and the little daily things that can go overlooked. This is the way to become, in the words of St. Augustine, an alleluia from head to toe. So, I understand that as, you know, just being full of gratefulness, being being filled with gratitude and have that flowing from us. So I will close now with a statement out of this article. Thanksgiving is foundational to a lifestyle of worship to God. So the expression of our gratitude is a foundational attribute to a lifestyle of worship. And I think that we all would desire that. And then another thought, I gleaned from Facebook this morning, actually. Gratitude makes even the smallest moments extraordinary. This was shared in a story by one of you. I found it this morning. Gratitude makes even the smallest moments extraordinary. So, may God bless you and me in exercising ourselves in being grateful from our heart. You know, it's more, it's deeper than just expressing thanks. Can we find it by the grace of God within our hearts to truly feel grateful and then let that flow from us and see it as one of the many gifts that God gives to us. So I will leave it at that, and we'll open for testimony or anything that you would have to share.